Welcome to This Present Truth. Today is Monday, June 29th, 2026. Program today, Prepare, a Military Draft Returns. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Again, this is the 29th of June, 2026. We're shortly going to have our 4th of July celebration. The podcasts are archived, can be found on thispresenttruth.com. Two sections, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry site section, also This Present Truth section. The programs are very good. I think you will enjoy them. I know you will enjoy them. People are not, the mainstream media is the lying press. Most of the world is waking up to that reality. But in America, we're involved in conflict in the Middle East. The Iran war will not be a forever war. That conflict has an expiration date. But after that conflict is ended, there will be continual conflicts in the Middle East, worldwide. But I'm going to discuss today the American military draft. It's inevitable. The selective service, the military, will offer the young men incentives to willingly take a military career rather than be drafted, or actually enlist due to the incentives. But I'm going to read today, this is out of usmilitary.com. This way you know that what I'm presenting to you is from a government website. The American people are going to have to prepare for a coming military draft, because this draft is going to return. The some of the European nations have already begun drafting the youth of their nations, especially in Ukraine. Now the larger nations in Europe, Germany, they are also beginning to target the youth. 10 days ago, Japan, Germany stated that they are going to build their militaries. This is a sign of Christ's second coming. Okay, so from 18 to 45 years of age, there will be a comprehensive look at these individuals in that age group. If we do go to basically full-out conflict, men up to 45 years of age will have to enlist. So presently, the registration age is 18 to 25 years of age, males only. Registration deadline, 30 days after turning 18. The emergency militia age, should there be an emergency, is 17 to 45 years old, people who are able-bodied. Special skills draft is 20 years of age to 54 years of age, including women in healthcare. And there's a soon-to-be change. There will be automatic registration for the young men ages 18 to 26, which begins this year, December 18th. What has been proposed this year is that even if the eligible men do not actually register, there's a bill before Congress where they will be automatically registered. Their ages, their names, or their where they live will be. The names will be mined through other government agencies. In the last few years, there has been, talk of women also being drafted, being required to register. And this time, there is going to be a draft of immigrants, non-immigrants who have status visas as students or diplomats. They're exempt. Now, this is from another article. In December of last year of 2025, Congress initially voted to end the requirements in effect since 1980 for male U.S. citizens and residents to register with the agencies, with your draft boards, and would administer these draft boards that would administer any military draft. So young men had to register to the Selective Service System within 30 days of their 18th birthday and report to the Selective Service System within 10 days of any change of address until their 26th birthday. So at that point, there was a victory because the qualifications, what was needed, ended. But Congress still has option of signing this new bill at the end of this year. If they do, then once again, men will have to register immediately. And if they don't register, they'll be automatically registered. Now, U.S. residents are subject to being drafted regardless of citizenship, and the Selective Service will have a mandate to compile a list of the names and addresses of all male immigrants 18 to 25, including undocumented immigrants. Those lists are likely going to be available through ICE, DOJ, other federal agencies. So even those in this country illegally are going to be sent to war, the coming wars that this country is going to be involved in. As long as Donald Trump is in office, we most likely will not see any major expansion of military conflict other than what we're witnessing presently with Donald Trump breaking the British hold in over Iran and using his wisdom to, you might say, get this American ship out of a British port. The British the City of London, going back to the 1600s, that have ruled the world. The sun never sets on the British Empire. Donald Trump is not just in conflict with Iran because of the nuclear program, but because of the British hand that has, it's a seen hand, which has had its fingerprints all over the countries in the Middle East, China, India, South America, South Africa. Donald Trump is going to succeed to a great degree of breaking the ancient British hold on what happens to this country, what happens in the Middle East, the plan of the British to destroy Russia. This has been a conflict for over 100 years with the British. And it's not the British people. It is a government. It is a group, a center, very powerful, not only people, but their companies, their corporations, their governments, their corporations. Trump is he's going to end to a great degree that influence over the countries of the world. Now, continuing with what is coming, are we as America, are we going to avoid more conflict? No, we're not. Once Donald Trump has left office, let me back up. What Donald Trump is doing presently is, I have stated in previous programs, he is building a vehicle. He is building he has a magnificent plan to free the United States from all of the entanglements that we have been subject to from people in this country, agencies, families, corporations, people in government in this country that have kept this country, as we know now, funding everything evil in other countries. One example, during the Obama administration, there was a plan by then President Barack Obama to dispense finances, millions and billions of dollars, to other countries of the world, to Africa, and to these poor nations in Africa. Dollars would flow if the presidents of those countries, the leaders of those countries, would allow our LGBT, our systems to promote the lesbian, homosexual lifestyle. If these countries went along with that plan and that agenda, then the Obama administration would send dollars into those countries, and it worked. It wasn't just in Africa. This was worldwide. We were dispensing cash so that we could dispense sodomite behavior, male, female, and other evil. This is the war that Donald Trump has, this conflict, this is what he's been battling. Corruption, this is why with Doge came in, and Doge was not able to cut off all of the funding to all of these agencies in this country, sending aid to other countries. They exposed it. It is now known. The billions that have been dispersed here, there, everywhere. And then the plan also is you sink a ship. The best way to sink a ship is to overload it. If you overload it and it becomes unbalanced, it begins to tilt, to list one way or the other, then you can sink it. Well, this is the plan with all of the immigration, legal, illegal. However, it's cultures coming in to a culture that has stood the test of time. And eventually, you bring in the cultures of other nations, and this country, what it has been, not only loses its identity, but this country basically is coming to an end. Donald Trump has been building walls physically, and he's been locating the hemorrhaging of dollars going out to the countries. He's been finding the, in the ship, when you have a rupture, he's been finding the ruptures that are allowing these individuals from other countries coming into this country through not just jumping a border, but being invited in by governors of the states of this country, California, Minnesota, Colorado. Colorado's people aren't watching Colorado. This country, this state here at the high point of the high altar of America. Colorado is they phrased years ago, and I use the same term, culturado. This state is importing health workers, medical staff, people working in the hospitals, in the government, in all of these here in Colorado at a rapid rate. And we don't know where they come from. Many of these people in the hospitals they don't speak very good English. We don't know. I question their abilities, if they are actually intelligent enough to provide accurate health care to the patients. I don't know. But Colorado is a black hole of wickedness. Now, Donald Trump, going back to what I've been trying to make a point, he is basically building something so fabulous that this country would be once again a city, a golden city, set on a hill. But I'm afraid that with what we're witnessing presently, the turn in this country of putting communists in Congress to begin with. There are many there already. There are many communists in the Senate, communists in the House of Representatives, communists in the state governments, communists in city governments. It's too late. And what's going to happen is what Donald Trump has been building for good is going to be turned over into the hands of wicked people. And people that have no morals or ethics, and this is what's coming to this country. The people that are morally bankrupt, morally cancer that has destroyed their ability to be moral, cancer that is given them to have affected their ethics, what's coming to this country is worse than what is going to happen in third world countries. We are going to be a fourth world country eventually. The third world countries, people will beg to relocate to third world countries from a fourth world country. You can't see it now. It's not, it's to me, it's evident. Maybe it's hard to even consider that there is a nation that could be a fourth world country, more corrupt, more evil, more violent, more satanic, insane would be a good word, because what we're witnessing is insanity. This is insanity. The nations, as bad as it is in Europe, many of these other nations, Africa is a, you don't even want to land, you know, if you're on board, you don't even want to land in one of their airports and hope to get out. It's unsafe. But America is going to be much worse. Going back to the draft. Yes, even if President Trump doesn't want to force the young people in conflict, in war, it's already been determined, it's already been planned by the, like Eisenhower called, the military-industrial complex. American people, and it's going to include women, it's going to include young men and women, they're going to be sent to areas of conflict. Okay, so in at the end of 2025, there was the NDAA, which included, it was passed, again, the National Defense Authorization Act. It included provisions that would shift the burden of registration from the individual to the government. So starting in December, roughly 18th of December this year, 2026, the Selective Service System is planning to once again begin, or initially to begin, automatic registration. So instead of 18-year-olds having to remember to sign in online or at the draft board, automatically the Social Security Selective System will use databases like Social Security, the DMV records, to automatically enroll male U.S. residents 18 to 26. So the move is because there are fewer people registering. Young people today, they graduate from high school, they don't register. The government doesn't have a way, or doesn't take the time, can't take the time to hunt down every, you know, child that's turned 18. Presently, it's just the young men, the women, the girls don't have to register. And you know, you have to register till you're 25 up to that point. But under U.S. Code 246, if there's an unorganized militia, actually the unorganized militia consists of all-bodied males, 17 and to about 45 years of age, who are citizens. Then there's the special skills designation. So these are designed for healthcare personnel, professionals, and the plan would target men and women between 20 to 54 years of age who work in 57 different job categories, from doctors, nurses, to lab technicians. They will be target. And this healthcare personnel delivery system is going to be gender neutral. So whether you're if you're a female claiming to be a male or vice versa, it's irrelevant. You're going to be declared gender neutral. The logic being that in a major war, the military is going to need a surge of medical expertise, and that the volunteer force couldn't provide. They have every base covered. I was registered in the draft. I was under the lottery system 2 years. I escaped, thanks to God, both times. And there were young men in this country that draft dodgers. They moved to Canada. They left the country. Well, eventually, what happened is Jimmy Carter, he pardoned all of the draft dodgers when he became president. This time, there'll be no pardon for draft dodgers. When I was in the early 70s, young people could move to Canada. They could move there, live there, dodge the draft. But Canada and the United States, years later, signed an agreement that this time, should youth from America move north, Canada would send them back. So there would be no draft dodging this time. And the other nations, I'm sure the United States has same kind of agreements with some of the other nations too, possibly most likely in Europe. Do I feel that this draft will occur? I do. Christ said that there would be wars, rumors of wars, and that has been the case through time. But at the very end, when the world is travel, according to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, travel will increase. People will move back and forth easily. And it doesn't mean, people going on a vacation. It means you can put people on a military, one of the big transports, and they can be in a battle area, in a theater of war, within 12 hours. People will travel to and fro, back and forth, quickly. You can put them on ship. It'll take a little longer. But nowadays, like during the Vietnam War, many of the young men, when they were, ready when they were, basic training was over, it was in 24 hours, they were in Vietnam. And when their time was up, within 24 hours, they were home. It didn't take two weeks, 3 weeks to cross the Atlantic, or longer to cross the Pacific. People would travel to and fro, militaries, quickly. I was almost convinced there'd be a draft, when we went into the first Gulf War. But they had people that the incentives for men to enlist was, the incentives were unbelievable. Well, now they're going to need more men as quickly as possible. And there's a, I'm thinking that now what happens is if you get American youth, if they are relocated to other areas globally, there's no one back at home to defend the country. So the coming administration, this is the threat to the American people. When Donald Trump is forced out, when he has to step down, when he has been released from his duties by the Holy Spirit, I do mean that, when God allows him to move as a servant, civil servant, and when he's forced out, he's going to be forced out, the next administration will not be user-friendly to the American people. The next administration is going to be, I'll use the word, lawless. There will come a time after Donald Trump has been forced out, removed via power of this new administration. The Constitution of this country, it's almost scuttled as it is right now. It will be completely, for the most part, just like George Bush Jr. stated, it will just be a GD piece of paper. The next administration will destroy this age-old document. What is coming to this country is terrifying. That's the best word I can use. It will be terrifying. For the youth that they decide not to register, to try to hide, to the draft dodgers, what they're going to lose is federal student aid. They'll be ineligible for Pell Grants. They'll be ineligible for student loans, other financial aid. They will be denied work for any federal government agency. State governments also, you'll be ineligible. These young people will be ineligible for federally funded programs like the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. For immigrant individuals, men, failure to register can be seen as a lack of good moral character, potentially delaying or blocking U.S. citizenship. So I remember, 20 years ago, there was an individual, a senator out of, I believe it was Nevada, I can't remember, but he was basically encouraging, I think he was encouraging immigrants to move into the country and joining the military, because at that time they needed more men. And what happened is the government did offer greater incentives. But he was actually saying, come to the United States, legally or illegally, join the military, and that will grant you eventually American citizenship. Once you send our young military fighting force out of the country, there's a vacuum. And going back to a point that I wanted to make and I didn't, the next administration, they will need youth to basically oversee any resistance, any not rebellion like we're seeing now, but those who would disagree with the objectives of the next administration. I think that this is why one of the plans was to get into this country so many of these young people that will not be drafted. Though they come from, they're immigrants, they will not be drafted. They will not serve the U.S. military. They will be in country to assist the coming administration with any problems, any resistance within. I can see it coming. And in my view, most would have to be Muslim. They will be Muslim young men. They don't need to be trained. They're, for the most part, before they even get to the shores of this country, they have some combat training, more so than the youth going into the military who have no combat training. These individuals are trained from the time they're young. People are discussing the Iran conflict, what's happening in the Middle East, but I know that people aren't aware of the war and conflict that's going to occur within this country. It won't be long. There's going to be conflict within. And this conflict is being understood, I would say, due to the midterm elections in this country. Now we're able to, the American people are more able to see more clearly the individuals, the politicians, the citizens in this country who there's a coagulation of all of the hate groups, politically and it's all political, within the government and outside of the government, within what happens in Washington, D.C., and what's happening in the states, within all the areas of this country. The conflict within is very clear. Very clear. The conflict within. The conflict within is really directed at one individual and everyone that supports him, the president. The deep hatred of the president of this country from people within the country. Even now, those that were considered to be conservative patriots are now, in a sense, not happy with the decisions the president has been making. The Iran conflict is in the Bible. I have talked about this in previous programs. There is a coming war outside of the region of Israel, a war that basically it's from Islamic countries up to the Arctic, Russia and Turkey, extending down Iran, other nations in that area, Islamic armies in North Africa, Libya, Ethiopia, I think some troops from other countries, young men from other countries who will be part of an army that will set up shop in present-day Jordan, out in the countryside, and with the objective of overpowering Israel, and not destroying Israel, but basically conquering Israel and taking all the riches that Israel has to offer, from technology to farming, and own it. This is the conflict that is coming. Trump is with the conflict in Iran. It's in the Bible. The other presidents prior to Trump, going back to Carter, no one would take a stand against the British and their involvement in the nation of Iran and their involvement in the Middle East. Donald Trump, it took Donald Trump. He's the one that would begin to end that British control. And due to that, he has triggered, lit the fuse for a coming war, which I term really a Russian conflict with other nations. Ezekiel chapter 38. Then you have Donald Trump. He just came back from the G7. He's at war with the European countries, the main countries in Europe. They don't just despise him. They are globalist. They are no New World Order advocates. Even the lady from Italy, Meloni, they're all unified in one objective: destroy Donald Trump. All of the EU nations basically want Trump out because he has disrupted all of their financial streams of finance coming into their countries, into the G7 countries, into all of the European countries, through Doge, green, the real green movement, which is the money coming from the United States to their countries. That's the real green movement. Then you have NATO. At the same time, Trump is beginning to close the valves on the streams of finance that's going into NATO. So this is why the European nations are hell-bent on destroying him. Then in the Middle East, with Iran, Trump has been working to bring about a working relationship, to have a working relationship with all of these, many of these countries in the Middle East. Because of that, Iran cannot allow it. Iran is resisting bombing Qatar, Kuwait, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, any nation that is having any positive communication and dealings with the United States via Donald Trump, they're a target of that regime, of that country. Well, right now, in my view, Iran cannot. Trump is hitting them not only with missiles. He's hitting them economically. He's trying to work with those that are in Iran that you can reason with. There are those factions that cannot be reasoned with. They're Islamic. There's no compromise with these people. These people, they will die as long as you die. They'll trade tit for tat. They are, the spirit behind them is just like with Hamas and Hezbollah. They are the violence, the hatred of Israel, the hatred of all the nations that will not convert to Islam. That is a spirit. There's no free will in Islam. Christ gives man free will. You have free will to receive him, to serve him, but not in Islam. If you don't submit to Islam, you become apostate. And if you still continue in your apostasy as a Muslim, well, then you will be dealt with. There's no latitude within Islam. It's either submit, convert, or die. That's just the way it is. History has proved it. Present history is proving it. Modern history. What is happening with the conflict? Iran will not, cannot beat the United States and Israel combined. The U.S. has taken over operations, basically. But they realize that Trump will continue to hunt down, destroy anything that can further the cause of Islam and these extreme terrorists, these jihadists. Trump is targeting these individuals, targeting what is necessary. So I believe presently, in my view, this conflict is just beginning. Israel is going to stand down, and the plans that Israel might have to individually as a nation destroy the Iranian government, the regime, the power structure, they won't be able to do it. In the book, in the Bible, Israel's prophets are clear that Israel is not going to be the nation that takes out that system in Iran. Israel has another objective. The prophets of Israel have given Israel another objective. It's a regional war which began in October 7th, 2023. It's a regional war with the countries surrounding the nation of Israel that are adjacent to Israel. At the end of that regional war, which Benjamin Netanyahu, I believe, will be the prime minister of Israel who will conclude that, it's a prophecy in Psalm 83, he'll conclude it when Damascus is destroyed and when the nation of Jordan becomes the real estate of Israel. That regional war will be over, and Netanyahu's duties as prime minister, I believe, will be fulfilled. But it's going to be a war, the regional war. There's a war outside of the region with Russia, Turkey, Iran, I think Azerbaijan, Armenia, on the north of Africa, Libya, Ethiopia, probably troops from some of the other nations that are Islamic troops, Somalia, and other nations will funnel troops into this coming conflict. The location of the disaster for these Islamic forces will be in present-day Jordan. They won't be in the cities. It will be out in the open. And I don't believe when this war occurs, I do not believe Donald Trump will be the president. His administration will be, by that time, forced out. I don't believe the Trump administration will be in power. Donald Trump will not finish his four-year term. He's going to get 2 years, I think, to the end of this election season, and then something is going to begin to really move in a different direction after the elections. He may be very successful in the coming elections, but there's something already in place to overthrow the present administration. Something already exists. There are people that have already planned ahead, and the objective is to remove Donald Trump, his administration, to end his conflict with the global order in the United States and in Europe, to end that global order is what Trump has been attempting to do. He has put a hurt. He has really interfered to a degree, scuttled their plans. They wanted to, objective was to have that coming satanic plan in place by the time that Barack Obama ended his presidency. The plan was Hillary would be the individual to seal the fate of this country and the fate of the world. But Donald Trump was the individual to disrupt their time schedule. I know I've mentioned this many times before. Donald Trump is in the Bible in Revelation chapter 17, verse 10. It's a riddle. Seven kings, eight administrations. The first of the kings, which are not kings, they are presidents of the United States of America. In the riddle, these are the leaders, the presidents of a great, great, massive empire that is a harlot, that is a nation that causes the world to commit fornication with the underworld, with the prince of the Diablo, with the prince of the air, Satan. And the nations commit fornication with this great country. The seven final presidents, excluding Joe Biden, he's not mentioned. He was placed to continue the president, continue the plans of a previous president. And Donald Trump is the seventh of those individuals. The first was Jimmy Carter. He was the first president. The next, and he was a globalist. The next was Ronald Reagan, globalist. Third was George Bush Sr., George Bush Scherf Sr., not the son of Prescott Bush, globalist. Number four, William Jefferson Rockefeller Clinton, globalist. Fifth was George Bush Jr., or George Scherf Bush Jr., a globalist. Number six was an individual from Kenya, Barry Satoru, a.k.a. Barack Obama, the ultimate globalist, and the individual that did what the other five previous presidents could not do. Number six would begin to sow cancer within the society, the cancer being racial tension. No one could sow this type of racial tension except for Barry. Because if Bush or any of the others, because they were white, if they were to do anything to sow any type of racial tension, they would have been called out on it. But Barry wasn't. Now, the thing with Barry is he is white. Barry is white. His skin color is darker than the others. His mother, they suspect, was white. But there are other thoughts that his real father was white. this is something that people are investigating. Was it his mother? Was his mother, I'm trying to think of her name, was she the true mother, or was she just a surrogate mother? And the father was actually the white individual. People are considering and looking into the research, and it's very hard to find the true historical data of who this individual is. But he is from Kenya. There is a Kenyan connection. There was a prophet from Kenya, I think it was in 1911, 1913. And this prophet stated, America will have a Kenyan son as president. America will have a Kenyan son as president. Well, he is dual race, white and black. So you can't say he is black because he has two races. He's white and black. So there's a term for a mixed race, black and white. There's a term, I can't think of it. But he is, in his culture, he is white. Barack Obama, in his culture, is not black. It has been stated many times by many different people that knew him that he actually hated the black people, that he would use his black the black identify as being black to use it to cause racial tension. And that's exactly what he did. So of the first six presidents in this grouping, he is the one who really is considered, and in spite of the evils of Carter and Reagan, Bush Jr., Bush Sr., and Bill Clinton, the evil, you might say, using that term, was not as damaging as what Barry did during his administration. He was very clear on his not only, anti-white, anti-Christian. He is a champion for Christian hatred. And people just assume that he, because of his color, that he needed to be accepted. Many black people presently, now, they don't really view him as black. They view him as someone who was just a hypocrite, someone who was more damaging to this country and to the countries of the world in the things that he did than the previous five presidents prior to him. Donald Trump has, during his presidency, changed that direction, but not completely. So, okay, I'm going to have to call it for today. Podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com, thispresenttruth.com. You can write me, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. And on the This Present Truth site, you have two options, two sections, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs and the present and This Present Truth programs. So the only individual that will help the world is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God bless you.